and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 140.
Hi there.
We are on 140. Was that a Jason A. Striker that I just
Where?
Heard?
What are you talking
Son
about?
Son of a bitch. I think he's gone, but he always comes back.
I'm Christopher Riccio, and that sounded like Jason A. Striker.
Hello, people.
Hey, all right. And Travis Baum's with us also.
This coffee's hot.
Just like you, Travis.
Don't drop it like it's hot.
Whoa.
So, Jason, why are you on the show today?
Because I really wanted you guys to go to Battle and Brew last night.
Yeah.
Jeff has some shit going on, I guess. I don't even know the full story with that. But
he's got that Cracker Jack.
He's got Cracker.
He's got a Yaris in town. So
he didn't want to. You didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable by recording, and then, blah, blah, blah.
We should have had Dane on the show, man.
Hey, I'd have been fine with that.
Dane's funny shit.
Should have got him drunk first. He had to be drunk first.
He couldn't make it tonight, so I offered to fill in if you guys would go out to trivia with me last night. And it was awesome, right?
Yes, it was.
Like
zombie trivia.
It was a good time. Monster trivia.
Everybody
Always
was out.
A good time.
We didn't win, though. That was sad.
I'm sorry. God.
I didn't say that was your fault, man.
It was my fault.
Jesus.
I missed two big questions.
And you missed the Frankenstein question. How did you miss the Frankenstein question?
It was Abbott and Costello. I thought the Mummy movie came first, I guess.
Right.
Guess not.
And you know what? Mistake.
Fuck the Chevron across the street from Battle and Brew. That's all I
Yeah, no joke. We've been parking across, in their parking lot for months.
I know.
Just all of a sudden.
And it's not like their parking lot ever has anybody in it. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're going to tow people. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So you had to park like a block down the road, right? At a school.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened is, John was going to, he was leaving at the same time I needed to move my car. So he's going to just let me have a space. And, there was some chick waiting for a space when I got there.
Oh.
And I was like, son of a bitch.
I would have laid in the street for you if you wanted me to. You just got an axe.
And you know what? John actually, the way he pulled out of the space, he made it so I could have jumped in and stolen the space. I just couldn't do it, though. I'm not that much of a douche, I guess. So I should have been, though.
Not that much.
Yeah, not that much. I'm kind of a douche, but I'm not that much of a douche. Anyway, Jason, man, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I'm still loving the job.
That's good.
Brought some.
We met your coworker yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Jared and then his wife. And you guys were kind of crushing on his wife a little bit.
No, just her tattoo.
His wife is pretty cool, man. That tattoo is awesome.
Yeah.
And what's her name's Hannah, too. That's funny as hell for me. Because, it was just, and it was in passing. It's like, I wonder what happened to Hannah. And she's like, I'm right here. And
I'm right here.
I meant the Hannah that used to work at Battle and Brew. I'm sorry.
But no, good times. I've just been busy with stuff. Like, really, I feel like a failure as a gamer these past couple of weeks. We'll talk about that in a bit, though. But otherwise, I'm doing really, really good.
Cool. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
Great. Well, we went to Battle and Brew the night before trivia too, Jason. We did this. My first ever
two Battle and Brews
Fighter
in a row,
tournament.
Man.
How did that go, Travis? Was this an experience?
It was an experience
worthy of repeating on the podcast.
No.
Who'd you use?
I use Blanca. We were training with Guile earlier in the day, and
just weren't feeling it.
Well, it's my first time using them. There's only so many times I could like mash jab with Guile waiting for electricity to come out somewhere, and it's not going to work. So I was getting a little frustrated, and Jason was getting frustrated. Then I was getting frustrated because he really wanted me to like Guile, and I really wanted to like Guile, but I'm still going to work on it, absolutely. But I won my first two matches, and by that time, I was playing all the good guys later on, and then they killed me. Two Guiles destroyed me. So,
it's called karma right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. So other than that, I've been finishing up the heavy details on Madden Grawl. It's official, 100% official.
That's exciting shit, dude.
Yeah, I'm really pumped. I'm really, 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 really nervous.
You'll be fine.
It's okay. It's talking with you guys. I still want to get a little more advice from you guys. I actually took in a little mentorship from somebody that's also a podcaster, and he's helping me out with some stuff, giving me some good ideas for questions to ask people who may not be gamers, just broad questions that still have to do with the event. So I'm getting a lot of really good ideas. But we leave Sunday at 12, and we're going to spend the next 2 days in New Orleans and have a really good time.
So that's cool,
I'm
man.
For that. But yeah, that's it. Just planning for that.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yep.
How about you, Chris? I have nothing to report. There's nothing going on. Yeah. I mean, no news is good news in my life right now. So, yeah, but, you know, the next thing we should talk about is we should mention IndusFest.
IndusFest!
Like, we're going to be doing probably every single show from here until IndusFest.
It's about that time, yeah.
Yeah, it is about that time. You guys start getting in your itineraries. We've explained what's going on. We're doing North River Tavern again on Friday. We're doing Battle Lake Brew again on Saturday, and it's going to be a blast. So, 5th and 6th, and then we'll probably be doing breakfast on the 7th and do it our farewell. So,
remember, the 5th of November.
That's right.
Yep. But I do have some bad news.
Uh-oh.
I broke the news to Jason on Tuesday at Battle and Brew. And the bad news is Tears for Fears turned us down.
Son of a bitch.
I tried to get... Yeah, they just weren't feeling it. They just weren't feeling it. So, guys, no Tears for Fears.
Fuck them elitist pricks.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, and they're just hot right now. They really are.
They
I mean,
are,
come
right.
on. I mean, they're touring the nation... they're touring the world, the universe. I mean, they're
universe.
Huge. They're huge.
They're big on Mars. So, that's what I heard.
Oh, massive, massive, massive. So
that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, video games.
We should talk about some of those. Jason, you're here. You know, you're not always here. So why don't you start?
Okay, it'll be quick. Actually, there were some. I need like a standard Street Fighter or something like that. Anyway, yeah, there was some Street Fighter played. I played the Limbo demo, or not Limbo. Yeah, Limbo. Limbo demo about 5 or 6 times now, and I don't know why the hell I haven't bought it yet.
Right.
What the hell is wrong with me? I love the game, and I don't know why I haven't gotten it. But I did buy Castlevania, and I was all set to play with you, Chris, and Chibi Knights, and I was waiting for you guys to get on, and I passed out, like fell asleep. It was nap time on the couch, so I still haven't actually played that yet. Like Lisa came home, and I was passed out on the couch, like controller in hand. So that's it. Really, I got Blaze Blue in the mail, and I still haven't even played that. And I'm just busy with shit. So, but yeah, we should get some quality game time in this weekend. I think we're gonna
do a video
review for Castlevania.
I have a feeling there's gonna be a lot of Castlevania playing.
Hell yeah, yeah, bring it on.
So
cool, I'm excited for that.
And I'll get to that a little bit later, but you know.
Okay, cool. But yeah, that's it for me.
I'm a stark contrast from what Jason was. I played a lot. Played a lot of Super Street Fighter, Modern Warfare. Truth. That was still mandatory this week, as always. Madden 11 demo. I need another M word for Madden. I don't know. I'll think of it. I'll look
in
the dictionary. I'll ask Webster.
Yeah,
and then I noticed, like, last week, a shitload of people playing Demon Souls again, and like 4 or 5 people on my friends list, and I'm like, okay, seriously, like, what's the big deal? Well, someone on Twitter mentioned that, like, they've been doing, like, a full, like, the entire game, the whole world's white tendency, and I'm like, okay, I really want to do that, because I can't recall ever really playing the game when any of the worlds were white tendency. I jumped in, and I have not stopped. Like, I even put it in today. Actually, today was the first day after about 5 days playing that I truly, truly got pissed off.
Wow.
But it wasn't even the game's fault. It was my controller glitched out, and I walked off a cliff and died. Like, so that's what pissed me off.
Damn.
But the game has not pissed me off once. The white tendency really, really changes the game, in my opinion. It doesn't make it easy.
Oh, so it's not like Super the fucking Jason mode?
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. It does make it easier, but not in your general sense of, like, you take less damage or this or that. You can still die just as easy, but the drops are more plentiful. You're going to find yourself with a lot more healing items, you know, in your inventory. The loot drops in terms of the things that you farm for, like, you know, upgrading your weapons, those are more plentiful. But my favorite part about it is that when a world is pure black or pure white tendency, Chris or Jason, you never, when you look at the loading screens, you see, like, these characters and it says their name and everything, but you never see half of these people. Well, these guys are just randomly around in some of the worlds, and they give you extra side quests depending on the tendency of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of cool stuff. Like, I remember there was a loading screen of this woman, like Executioner Miralda or something like that. I'm like, okay, who is she? I've never seen her. She's like in the first level.
Hmm.
All right, when it's White Tendency, right, when, you know, you're on the bridge going into that castle, you just turn left right when you're on that bridge and you go down and boom, she's right there. Because the entryway is wide open because of the tendency level. So you can just go in and fight her the very first, you know, thing you do in a game. So it's really, really cool. A lot of interesting side quests. So it's easier, yes, but it's not. But to me, it's just more fun. Like, I think I'm soul level 48 now. I'm almost crossing 50.
Hmm.
Wow. And enjoying the hell out of it. And like I said, this was the first time I got pissed, and it wasn't even the game's fault, really. So I'm probably still going to dig deeper into Demon's Souls because I've kind of got that itch to play it more, which I'm glad because I know what was it, like episode 137, 138, we got into a discussion, and Chris, you had said it yourself that like almost every day you sit and go, I really need to put in Demon's Souls, and you just never do. Well, it was a perfect time to do it, and I'm glad I did. I really am glad I did. Another thing, and I'm really, really sad that Jeff's not here to talk about it, so I may not touch on it until later on, but I got the DLC, Better Tomorrow, from VG Evo. He gave me the DLC to The Signal for Alan Wake.
Oh, cool.
I gotta say, it was really, really, really good. It's only a couple hours long, but to me, it was, for what I wanted, it was... pretty much it met my expectations, and it was free, so it was, I guess you could say it exceeded my expectations, but I think if you just rent the game or whatnot, it's $7, is that what it was, like $7 for this and the next DLC, I believe it is, I'm not really sure, but I think it's less than 10, but okay. For something that's less than $10, it's a great, great addition to the story, because I thought this was going to be kind of tacked on to try to like either, try to get some money in. Some extra money for Remedy, but no, I mean, it is a good continuation of the story. It doesn't stretch the story any further, but it adds on to some of the questions that were in the game. Of course, they give you more questions toward the end, but they do, like, pretty much I kind of know what's going on in the story now, and it wasn't
as... a little enlightening, right? Sheds a little bit more.
To me, personally, it was very enlightening. Like, I finished it saying to myself, I even tweeted it, I was like, I pretty much understand Alan Wake now just by playing the DLC. I don't know. It was just, I liked it. And there's a lot of the big sites, when they were reviewing The Signal, they criticized on, it was too much of an emphasis on combat, and the combat was getting a little too difficult. It was like very, very different than what was in the full retail game. And I kind of like it. Like, in the middle of the game, did any of you play Alan Wake yet?
I haven't, no.
You haven't? So both of you haven't. But you've seen videos. You kind of get an idea of the shootery gameplay, the shootery nature of the gameplay. Well, somewhere definitely. In the middle of the DLC, you get attacked by all these cars coming at you. Well, you can get in another car, and it turns into Destruction Derby. It's out of nowhere, but it to me it works because of the way, the way the enemies are used in a game, and it completely works. And then they do some really cool stuff with words on the screen, and you shine your light, and whatever the words are, they're kind of like typed up in midair, and when you shine your light on the words, whatever that word is, like for instance, it'll say telephone, you shine a light on it, and a telephone will pop up and it'll start ringing and stuff like that. Well, you're surrounded by enemies completely, and you see off in a distance, in between you and your goal, you're looking at these words, and you walk by and the word just says boom. But the next thing you know, you're surrounded by enemies, so you shine your light on boom and it explodes and starts shining light everywhere, and you have to use the words to your advantage as you're trying to bob and weave the enemies, but it's pretty much your defense because there's no way you have enough bullets in your six shooter to fend off all these guys, so you have to use the environment. And it's something they never, ever use in the full retail game, and I enjoyed this part of the game so much. I'm like, man, I would have had less gripes about the monotony of the gameplay in the retail package if they added this stuff here and there just to refresh me a little bit. And I'm shocked that they didn't. So, but I really, really enjoyed it. And hopefully next time Jeff's on, he can play it and we can talk about it because it really adds to the story quite well. And I really enjoyed it. So, but other than that, That was it for me, man.
Okay, cool.
Pretty cool.
I'll go through mine a little bit. Played some more Persona. Really enjoying that. And I also played some more. Talked about it a little bit last week. And Monsters Probably Stole My Princess. That game is really fun, man. I'm sorry. And it is on sale right now for $250. So, I mean, right. I think it's worth the $250. So, I would say go out and get it. And I actually end up getting gold on all five of the stages, and it opens up an extra stage. And someone told me there might be another one after that if you get a gold on the sixth stage. So we'll see. But, yeah, cool stuff. Limbo. I beat that.
Yeah. I beat the demo.
It's so good. Man, it's so good.
It is really, really
Jason,
good.
Jason, you really need to get this game. Go ahead, Travis.
I'm annoyed that I haven't gotten it yet.
Without spoiling anything, did you find the ending, like just the last 10 seconds of the game, compared to the rest of the game, how like just how enjoyable it is? Did you find this the last 10 seconds just like unfulfilling? Mm. Now, I'm not talking about I want to know what happens. I'm not talking about, oh, there's no closure. I was kind of expecting that kind of open ending thing, because the whole game is you pretty much are, you know, using your imagination, you know, to describe what is going on. There, you know, there is no set. You know, you're looking at the game, the information. It's like a boy's looking for his sister. That is it. That's all you're told. Everything else is up to your imagination. Like, who are these people and all that stuff. So the ending's the same way too. But there was just something about it. It was too like, I don't know, like a snap of the fingers, it's done. And I'm like, oh, really? Like this entire experience to be, you know, light switch off, boom, done. And I'm like, okay, I just wanted a little more, a little something. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that pat on the back for beating that game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, it does. Okay, and, I understand that, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess I see your point. Because you know, there's not the satisfaction of actually knowing what happened after you got there. But yeah, I mean, I was fine with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I had so much enjoyment out of playing the game that you know it didn't really dawn on me about that, you know,
right.
But you know, and then I found out that there's all these like secret eggs that you can find and shit like that. And
those are really, yeah. Really fun to find.
Yeah. I didn't find any of them on my first playthrough at all. So
the first one's right in the beginning.
I know. And I didn't know that. I actually went back and I found it like when I like started up the game again.
Right.
So
that's like one of the first things I do in like all platformers I play for whatever reason. Like, you know, if you're presented left to right, I always try and go left first.
Left,
always,
me too.
Just, I don't know why. But yeah, that scored me an egg. That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just fantastic game. Very creative. Mm-hmm. Never repeats puzzles. Everything is different. And, you know, that, you know, last week I talked about that feeling, you know, what do they have in store for us next? And that never stopped. You know, the entire game felt like that to me, and just super creative. And I was really happy that I was able to make it through the game without actually having to look at a cheat or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, there were two places where I actually got stumped a little bit, and both of them were kind of like, oh, duh, you know, in mm-hmm. one of those yeah. moments. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're just playing the game too long and you leave the game for like an hour and you come back and all of a sudden the light bulb turns on. It's like, oh, why didn't I see that before? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic game. Anybody who has a 360, I highly suggest it. I have no doubt that this is going to be one of my games on my top download of the year.
Without a doubt.
It's that good. It really is yeah. that good. After I beat Limbo, as weird as this sounds, I popped in Little Big Planet. And because they have, because I saw some reports that they have Limbo stages on Little
yeah.
Big Planet.
Yeah.
And I jumped video, into there yeah. and There's quite a few of them now already, and you know the one that has the one thing that pretty much all of them have in common is that first like boat in the very beginning where you sail across the very like small body of water.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty much all of them have that,
right.
But they're all pretty creative. You know, I mean, there's one that actually implements the entire turning of the stage and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, they obviously don't recreate the entire game, but, you know, each one has little sections and, you know, like there's a couple that have bear traps and stuff like that. And, It's really cool to go back and see how creative people can get to actually try and mimic some games like this. So
does Little Big Planet like recreate the decapitations and the skewering?
No,
Sackboy like just as good. Oh, that sucks.
Dude, poor little guy. When I was playing the game, one of those machine guns decapitated him. I was like, oh, that's horrible.
Dude, some of those deaths are so like quick. They're scary. It's like I remember jumping a couple of times, going, "Holy shit, did I just die?"
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I love that game. I want to play through it again. So yeah,
it is really good. Jason, you need to get on that, man. It's I know you like it because you played the demo 5 times.
Yeah,
so just
I love
buy
it.
The game.
I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Isn't it such a good ending to a demo? Like it's.
Oh, it's
the first. It's the first demo
what's
that
the end
I've
of the
ever
demo?
Purchased.
Where does the demo end?
The
demo
in the
ends.
Spider web.
Yeah, the spider wraps you up, and looks like he's about to like skewer you.
Oh, is that
it
where
says,
it ends?
Yes, right there.
That's awesome.
And it says buy the full game now, and that's the first time I bought a bought the game
it's
in
like,
the demo.
Son of a bitch!
In the demo, I hit buy right there.
Nice.
So
nice. That's cool. All right, let's see. Little Big Planet, I mentioned. Well, I guess it's time to move on to Castlevania.
All right, let's rap about the Castlevanias.
Let's dish.
You guys haven't played it, right?
No,
no,
I haven't. No.
Okay.
Nap time, remember?
I was waiting for Jason. He never came on.
I was on. Just
well,
sleeping.
I actually haven't read any of the reviews out there, but this game is getting very mixed reviews.
Yeah.
And it's my theory, it's my theory because I haven't read the reviews yet, but it's my theory that a lot of the issues that reviewers are having is the fact that it's pretty much all reused assets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the backgrounds and the maps, like the way they set up the map, the maps are set up with like reused assets from the previous 2D Castlevania games. It's like mm-hmm. in the second chapter, there's like an entire section that I'm like, oh, that's from Portrait of Ruin. And, you know, I have a feeling that there's a lot of people that have a problem with that. I don't. I think they put it together really well. I love the way they laid out like the maps and stuff. And, you know, it kind of works, but at the same time, it feels weird, but weird in a good way. You know, it's kind of hard to explain, but overall, I am really, really enjoying it. I played 6 playthroughs of different chapters. 2 of them I played with, Chibi Knight, 3 actually. And then 3 more, or 2 more I played with, Sabercade. And really cool way it lays it out. You know, when you zoom out of the map, you can see where everybody is, like all your teammates and stuff. And it's just, it's really, really fun. You pick up loot all, you know, throughout the entire stage, and very Monster Hunter-ish feel because you don't level up. You know, the only way you get stronger is by finding this loot and, you know, equipping it to your character. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, it does remind me a lot of Monster Hunter. So it's like Castlevania meets Monster Hunter, which is what I thought it was going to be. And I love it. You know, it's got its issues. Biggest one is, God, what were they thinking? You can't join mid-game.
Ooh.
I have no idea what they were thinking with that, but it's like, if you don't start the chapter with your full party, then that's it. You have to wait until the chapter's over.
And ooh, that hurts. That really hurts.
It does. It's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, the game pretty much makes up for it. It's got some glitches here and there. I mean, I know that there's been, like John was saying that he was having some trouble with some of the chandeliers that are on the second chapter. And, I heard that, I think Jeff was the one that said that there was a glitch against one of the bosses where like he was playing in a group of like 5 people and 3 of them warped out to the end screen and the other 2 were sitting there, even though they couldn't do anything, they were still on the map.
Oh,
so
shitty.
It definitely has some issues. My biggest complaint right now is that they didn't add any characters from what we knew about in the past already. So you have a 6-player game and only 5 characters to choose from, and that's retarded.
They're holding out for DLC.
I know, and that's even more retarded because, I mean, I understand that a lot of people are you know, bagging on this game because it's reused assets and $15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, $15 I am happy paying for this game, but I wanted more characters. They have so many assets that they could have added to this. They could have had the entire cast of Castlevania 3 in this game. They have assets
Simon.
For that.
I want Simon. Give me Simon.
Well, Simon they would have to redo.
Fine.
But they could do, I mean, Trevor, Richter, Maria, Grant. I mean, they have all of these characters that were in Symphony of the Night that they could have added to this game. And they have all those assets. So I don't know why they didn't. And, you know, I heard that there is, you know, there is going to be DLC coming out. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Well,
I mean, I know I'll buy it, but I don't know how I feel about it yet.
A couple of questions. You don't really have anybody to play online with. Is this game worth it for $15 single player straight through?
I don't think so.
Even for like even as a Castlevania
I'm
fan.
Saying this as a Castlevania fan. I mean, I personally would probably play it single player, but I would not have bought it without the aspect of multiplayer there.
So there's no story like
oh, no,
explaining why all these people are together?
No. I mean, there was actually someone who asked me where Harmony of Despair lands in the Castlevania timeline. I'm like,
nowhere.
Do you know where this what this game is, man? It's like it's a bunch of characters that don't relate to each other at all in one game. So, but yeah, I mean, it's still fun as shit, and you know, fighting the bosses is a lot of fun. Like the stage two boss, like. After you damage him enough, he'll start like moving around the stage. So you have to start navigating the stage again to get to him and actually beat him. So I mean, it's really creative. I like it a lot. It's worth it to me. If you have friends to play this game with, I say buy it. $15 is not too much to pay for it.
I think I'm with you. Yeah, that's why I plunked it down. Plunked down the money without actually playing it first because you know I really love the concept behind it and it seems like it's going to be a really cool multiplayer. I love that there's no experience that you need to gain or anything like that. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. It's like there's no experience, and every other Castlevania that like 2D Castlevania since Symphony of the Night has used that experience and leveling up system,
right?
And that's something this one
that
doesn't.
That so I was worried about. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good thing because I mean, say I don't buy this 6 months down the line, I say, hey Chris, I finally bought Harmony of Despair. You want to play? Yeah. Well, guess what? He's not 30 levels ahead of me, and now we can play together.
Yes, I am.
So yeah.
Yes, I am because there's loot that makes you stronger. That's how they do it. It's
well,
just
no,
like,
I get that, but.
You can still hop into rooms together, right?
But there's there's no experience for us to share where you're getting all the experience and I'm low level and it's fucking
correct.
Up the experience
tree. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, now okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah, so that way there's no penalties or anything like that. So yeah.
Talk to me about the loot though real quick. Is the loot is there an abundance of different types of armors and weapons or is it kind of like a, you know, a mixed bag here and there?
Well, I've only gone through the first couple chapters, so I'm really not 100% sure.
Right.
But I have a feeling it's going to be very similar to, you know, one of the games. Like, I mean, Symphony of Night had a ton of loot.
Yeah.
You know, there was a ton of stuff. And you get in this one you get armor for the head, the chest, the back, the feet. And then you have two accessory slots as well. And then you have weapon slots as well, also.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, each character has different weapons that they can grab. And, like, I mean, Shinoa uses the glyphs. So on each map, you might find an enemy that uses a glyph and you can go steal it and that kind of thing. So, you know, they implemented all those gameplay elements into the game. And I mean, so far, to me, it seems like it works really well. But yeah, it's the loot is it's not drops. That's the only thing. It's not a situation where you get loot from drops of enemies. Everything you get is from a chest, and there's like chests spread out all over the map. And each map you have a half an hour to complete, so you have time to explore and you know get all the chests and see the different areas and that kind of thing. So
that's cool.
And then. You know, stage one, I think everybody starts in the same place, but stage two, everyone starts in a different spot. And, you know, there's different paths and different chests and stuff that only certain characters can get to. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. It gives a little bit of replay value, I think, because you can go through the game and then you can go through it again with another character, you know, and, you know, you have the ability to play through with all five characters.
So just it's a different experience with each character.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there really is. And they all play different, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I love the idea of starting in different sections of the map and trying to, like, meet together. I think that's really, really cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on board. I love it. And I have a feeling I'm going to be playing this. I mean, I honestly have not used my Xbox Live Gold account very much in the past year, and it just expired, and I bought a card so I could... I renewed it mainly just so I could play this freaking game. So,
mm-hmm. and Halo Reach.
And right? Halo Reach, that's right.
And Halo Reach, that's right. You're
and
all
Madden,
about that.
Right?
And what?
See, and Madden, that is the right? reason why I'm really hold. That's why I didn't buy it today or yesterday. That's why I didn't buy it, because it's like, oh, do I really want to plunk down $15 or something I'm going to play probably for just a couple of days? Because after Tuesday... I'll see you guys in 6 months. I'm serious. Like, I'm not going to play anything.
I'll see you guys at the end of the season.
Yeah. Tell me how Indus Fest went.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start playing that game just so I can see you.
I know.
So,
so cool. All right. Are we skipping news?
Not
that's
much
all
happened.
Got, so.
We can touch briefly on stuff, I guess. I don't know.
They announced, they named the next Batman game. What's it? Arkham City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently they're expanding, you know, Arkham and making it a little bit bigger. So that hence the city, I guess. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen the artwork that's been coming out for it. You know, the black, white, and grays. Gorgeous stuff.
I saw
like the new Game Informer
article,
cover is beautiful.
Yeah, I saw the article header on 1UP, and that's pretty much the only one I've seen at this point.
Oh,
so
hype.
So hype.
Cool.
It's going to be a good game.
Tactics Ogre and the PSP. Officially announced
that's
about
cool.
2 weeks ago
right.
or something like that, and they're making some nice changes. In particular, the units, you can now be it. Well, any gender. Before, you know, you had to be like a female archer or something like that, and yeah, now you can be a guy archer. How cool is that?
Wow,
are we not excited?
I'm totally excited.
We're on.
That's awesome. They're adding some troops too, so I'm super pumped about that. Can't wait.
Cool. All right. And I think didn't Molyneux come out and say that Fable 3 isn't going to use Kinect at launch?
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh, guys!
And the internet turned around and yelled,
things.
Who gives a shit? I really don't
give
a shit about Halo anyway.
We got this amazing
Fable,
new
anyway,
technology,
sorry.
And we're going to take it. We're going to use it. It's called Kinect, and Milo's going to come, and he's going to blow minds. And oh, shit! It doesn't work very well right now, so we're going to wait. We'll patch it in we did multiplayer last time.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Fable 3
just go away. That's fine.
I think I'm starting to hate him. I really do. I mean, I love Fable 1 and adored Fable 2, and I'm starting to, like, lose hype on Fable 3 so much, and it's all him. Like, it's like he's just so aggravating.
Yeah.
He really is. So, wow, we just ended this part on a downer.
So. I'm a little
bummed depressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris, I don't have much that I can. Hey, Lords of Shadow is going to be the same on both systems.
That's good.
Yes,
that's good, right?
Good.
No, 360 is going to have two discs. No big deal.
Oh no, yeah. You have to change a disc once.
I know,
like 12 hours. Or
a linear action game, you have to change the disc once. Oh no.
Oh.
So, all right. Well, that's it. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about what are we talking about? DLC and the prices of downloadable content and downloadable games. And
you
how ridiculous
bastards.
They're getting.
I'm ready to argue.
And after that, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
It's time to wake up. Yo, man, check it out. It's Kill 9. Yo, what's up? This is an expletive deleted joint. They got the news and reviews that you all could use. From Atlanta to Canada to the internet to you. So all you in the house, let me hear you make some noise. Get up out your seats and jump for joy. Just yell, who gives a shit, like you just don't care. Cause interactive distractions is on the air. Straight up, bitches. It's like a regular distraction. Except y'all participate. Yeah.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you, Jason. I was hoping you would pick up that slack. Aight. So here's the biggest problem with not having Jeff on the show for this particular episode. The feature was his idea last week. You know, and that's kind of a problem. But it's a problem that could be rectified. Do you
How
know
so,
why?
Chris? No, I don't.
I have a voicemail from Mr. Jeff Chorney.
What?
Yes.
I think we should start with that. What do you think?
Let's do it. Hey, what are we talking about anyway?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about, you know, that stuff that's too expensive. Yeah.
Oh, the DLC.
DLC. Okay. Downloadable games, DLC, and that kind of stuff. And you know, when is enough enough? I mean, when are we going to say, okay, you're obviously charging too much for this shit. Get over yourself. So okay. That's kind of the idea. And here
I'm on board.
Is what Mr. Chorney had to say.
Hey, guys. What's going Hi. On? Hope you guys are having a good time. Fuck you guys for the Canadian jokes. Because there's definitely been a couple, I'm guessing, anyway.
We haven't made any.
No.
Don't worry, Travis. I'll send your wife home shortly.
See?
So you guys are talking about like the whole price of downloadable games, and I'm going to go ahead and comment. So I'm going to put this in the form of a Dear X. My Dear X goes, Dear Microsoft, Sony, and might as well throw Nintendo in there as well. I love the fact that you're giving us these opportunity to download games for a decent cost on a system that I can just go and put on my hard drive and play them at my leisure. What I also want to say is fuck you for increasing the price every goddamn year. This is getting to become bullshit. I used to like, you know, games for $5, maybe $10, $15 was like questionable. And now it seems like you guys are like, okay, we're making money with this. We're getting somewhere. Let's keep upping the price every year. And I know I mentioned the other three platform holders, but I'm going to shoot mostly for Microsoft because you guys do the Summer of Arcade thing every year. And I remember back in the day it was like $10 a game or $5 a game, and that was impulse buy. That's like, do I want this game? Do I not want this game? Nah, you know what? I'll buy it. Whatever, $5, $10, give it a shot. And then the next year, you know, you had a couple games over $15. A few that were 10 here or there, they were, you know, at least they were like kind of staggered. This year, everyone's $15. And that's fucking bullshit. That takes away from being an impulse buy to me being there, actually contemplating, actually thinking, as much as that is hard to do sometimes, about whether or not I should buy that game, where you definitely had my money before. So this is my issue here, is you had it good. Now people are contemplating buying the game. This is the first time ever in a Summer Arcade where people are like, well, I don't know if Castlevania game is going to be worth $15. Hydro Thunder, $15. And not everyone's going to buy everything. It's fucking garbage. And so what if I bought all of them so far? You know, that's besides the point, because I'm not the one, like, the one we should be compared to. I'm not the fucking guy with the willpower here. But I'm just saying, you're fucking up your system. The more you do this, no one's going to download crap, and eventually it's going to get to the point where what are we going to pay? $30 for Hydro Thunder Hurricane Typhoon Edition 2?
Braid 2?
Because that's what I'm thinking is going to happen, and it's not fucking cool, and I'm kind of sick of it, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this bullshit, because now I have a bunch of arcade games on my console that I barely play, and I'm like, oh, look, those are all $15. That's fucking awesome. You know what? I can go to like a strip club and pay like $15, $20 for a lap dance that lasts maybe like 4 minutes, and for some weird reason, I feel like that is more of a justifiable purchase. And seriously, it's bullshit and it's getting out of hand. These are no longer downloadable titles, impulse buys, let's check out the arcade games. These are now almost turning into cheap bargain bin retail games. And stop stinging. Okay, Castlevania, I like the game. Sorry, Chris. It's really cool. Harmony of Despair. Really fun game. But for $15, compared to what we were getting last year for $15, like, let's say, Shadow Complex, or something along those lines, very fleshed out game. Castlevania, although fun, does feel like it was, like, kind of thrown together, and you guys probably said, hey, God, make Castlevania a game. We're going to throw it on there at $15. And this is kind of moot, because I actually bought the fucking game. This is retarded, and I'm just rambling at this point. But seriously, cut it out. Put a ceiling on that shit. $15 is the max, and for $15, you should be getting, like, incredible amount of game in that for that $15. Everything else, like a little game here and there, 5 to 10, money. I guarantee it, make more money down the line, because that becomes it's you're not thinking anymore. You're like you're at a bar, you have a few drinks, you're not even thinking about the next time someone's like, "Hey, you want to go to the beer?" You just do it. That's what it's gonna be. And fuck it. Fuck you guys. Because I'm broke. So, yeah. And, yeah, that's it, guys. That's basically what I think. I think it's kind of bullshit. And they should probably keep the prices down a little bit. And what I've been playing, I'm playing some Castlevania. I'm going to play some Street Fighter and all the regular stuff. And I'll talk to you guys soon. All right. Love yous.
Love you too, buddy. All right, so that was the feature. We have a voicemail from Repeat for new releases. Real quick, can I say something to Jeff?
Go ahead,
Jeff. Hey, how you doing? It's Travis. Dude, you can't make a Dear X about something and bitch about it when you actually partook in everything, dude.
How's your Snoopy game going?
Oh damn!
Snoopy is fun though.
All right, I'm sure we're gonna get into more of this, but you know, I mean, prices have been going up on some of the downloadable games, but I guess it really depends on you know the quality of the content, and you know, I would agree with him where that like the Summer of Arcade. I don't think everything in Summer Arcade this year is worth $15.
True, very true. Hydro Thunder?
Hydro Thunder, yeah.
Monday Night Combat says hi.
Really not feeling that. But Limbo is definitely worth $15, and I think Castlevania is worth $15. And what else is coming out?
Monday Night Combat looks really good. I'm going to get that.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And what was the last one was Tomb Raider, right?
Yeah.
That one's questionable. I didn't really like playing that. It didn't feel right when I played it at E3, so I don't know.
Yeah, not a good game.
Right.
Seriously, where is Comic Jumper? Is that game really not ready yet? I mean,
but that was my Super Meat Boy.
It seems like it has been. I finally saw videos of that. It looks really, really cool. But it just seems like Comic Jumper has been in development forever now. And
well, I mean, keep in mind that Comic Jumper is, you know, it's several distinct art styles in one game.
And they are a small team, too. So, yeah. I mean, and I get that, but for an arcade game, it has been in development for a while.
Yeah. Well, they had, at E3, they had three of the art styles available for play, and they had a video of the fourth one. So I think it's getting pretty close, and I think they actually said October. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Good, because there's nothing that's coming out in October.
Good. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that is. But
cool.
Yeah. All right, let's do an email.
That's a really good idea.
Well, I don't think there is an upper limit for PSN Live Arcade titles, says our buddy Zeke. He says customers will pay for quality. That being said, I personally am more inclined to spend a little money more often than I am spending a lot of money in one go. I just have to look at my Steam account. I have a ton of games I bought for $1 to $5 that I will probably never ever play.
Yeah.
But it still feels okay to buy Stalker for $1.99, even though I already have it on disc somewhere. If I'm ever in the mood for it, I can just install it and play. I think Sony and Microsoft will find this out soon enough. Microtransactions for the win. That's all, folks. Again, from Zeke.
Good show. Very good point with the Steam. You know, a lot of those games are very impulse spikes. They have the crazy Steam sales and you know, the weekend sales,
yeah.
And midweek sales and shit like that. But
I would agree. I mean, I probably have at least half a dozen games on my Steam account that I have not played yet, and I just bought them because they were $5 or less.
Nothing gets me more than a good Steam sale.
Yeah.
And yeah, majority of the stuff I still haven't even played.
Yeah.
Like, I'll buy it just to have the little icon in my library, I think.
I'm happy Steam was brought up so early in the feature because they have the idea. You know, they have done it right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Microsoft, Xbox, you know, Live Arcade is running a close second. But just, you know, again, going with the prices of things and how fast they have risen just in, you know, 5 years. We're about to hit the 5-year mark with the 360. And we've seen, what, three price changes in terms of what's the medium. We've seen it change three times. And it's showing no signs of stopping, especially just the way, you know, the, first of all, the games are getting bigger. They upped the cap to what, a gig or 2 gigs or something like that for Xbox Live Arcade. They upped the amount that the developers can use, you know, to mm-hmm. make a bigger game. I mean, Deathspank was a gig.
Was it really?
You know? Yeah. Huh. It's a pretty hefty arcade title. So it makes sense because they're releasing the new Xbox arcades, the Slims, with 4 gigs of internal. So, you know, they're anticipating these bigger games. Bigger games are going to mean nothing but bigger prices and everything.
And they're allowing external drives up to 16 mm-hmm. gigs as well. So
exactly. And you have Steam here, you know, still holding down the fort with their Super Saver sales. Hey, we're running a sale because we're running a sale. So here it is, $1.99 for King's Quest Collection. I mean, come on. I'm serious. I bought the King's Quest Collection, $1.99. You can't beat that.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
Steam's got it right. Steam, they just have the idea.
It's a great model, and I really wish, you know, some of the other console companies would take note of stuff like that. And they do run sales, and you know what? There's spikes, you know, whenever, you know, a game is like half off or whatever. You know, I just bought the that PSP mini game because it was $2.50 or whatever. You know. But, you know, when stuff like Castle Crashers goes half off or it's like $5 off, you know, there's definitely a jump. So, I mean, they are kind of taking note, but we're still not seeing the, you know, just absolutely ridiculous, you know, bottom of the barrel pricing that we see on like Steam. So,
because Steam all of a sudden will have like a like what Travis was saying, a $10 game will be $2 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, talk about a spike in sales. That's it right mm-hmm. there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Travis mentioned that, you know, that. You know, the cap was up for, like, you know, Microsoft as well. I think it's important to say that the quality of downloadable games has pretty much increased, you know, dramatically.
I would agree.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Since the inception. When we first saw, you know, Microsoft Live Arcade, they were really just, like, you know, arcade ports or slight graphic remakes, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that shit's worth $5, $10, you know? Whatever, but we're seeing, and you mentioned Comic Jumper before, you know, where these, you know, smaller companies are putting, you know, like a year or two into development, you know, they've got to pay them bills. I don't think it's, you know, unreasonable to charge $15, even $20 for some of these titles that you're getting probably what 6 to 10 hours typically of entertainment out of, you know,
yeah.
Especially if the quality's there.
Yeah, exactly. And we're seeing that pretty consistently. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of great games coming out on these, you know, on the DLC front from all the systems right now. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think what gets me more than anything is the price, and it's not just now, you know, it's since the beginning, is like the price of add-on content. And, you know, of course, I'm going to pick on Activision with their $15 map packs, but it's not just that. I mean, even with the original Resistance with their $8 map packs. I mean, $8 for a few maps in a game that you already spent $60 for. I mean, I think that's kind of pricey, you know? I mean, it should be like $5 for 3 maps or something like that. You know?
I don't think $8 is too bad.
Yeah,
I think
it's not excessive, but what Activision's doing is crazy. And I mean, and coming from, I mean, I love my Warfare, but like it's way too much. Like I wouldn't touch it. Like, the only reason I got my maps is because Animated hooked me.
Right,
because
someone else got it for
you. That was the only way.
Right.
I was never going to buy it, ever.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I guess it's just me. I just think that, you know, some add-on content is worth it, but, you know.
The only thing that really gets me is when they purposely hold stuff back that they can charge DLC for. I don't mind if they're actually, you know, developing this stuff after the fact and then, you know, releasing it. You know, especially if I love the game, then I'm going to snatch it up, you know, because I'm still enjoying it or whatever. But
nothing's more annoying than the shit already being on the disc and it just, you download an unlock code. That shit's annoying as hell.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's pretty ridiculous. Even though I've paid for, you know, Street Fighter costumes on like both consoles before, but yeah, I'm sick that way, you know. But it's kind of unfair in a lot of situations.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Travis, you want to throw us another email?
Sure. I don't think I would spend more than $40 on a downloadable game. With a downloadable game, you're stuck with your purchase after you buy it. I like to sell my games after I beat them or I'm done playing with them so that I can keep up this expensive hobby. With a downloadable game, you have no choice but to keep the game. This is from Sean Recupido, and good Lord, I have to say, you got the idea. I think that's one of the big points of these companies making downloadable games.
Yeah. Right.
There is no way that with your downloadable purchase, you can take that and go to GameStop, and then GameStop selling that game, and then that developer seeing nothing. So yeah, there's a reason behind it. I mean, and on top of that, there's no price for shipping or, you know.
Yeah, there's no packaging
the stuff
to
on
pay
disc,
for
no
or stuff
packaging,
like that.
And nothing like that.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up. I mean, more than anything, when it comes to like downloadable games and shit like that, what annoys me more than anything is when they throw up a downloadable game and it's the same price as it is in retail. And, you know, we may have talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's like... what actually is supposed to control the cost of products in you know, for consumers? It's supply and demand. It's always been supply and demand. Well, now we have this downloadable option, so you have infinite supply, and you know the price is still the same, and that doesn't really go well with me. And mm-hmm. besides that, it's like now. You know, whereas, you know, with physical product, retailers will put it on sale to get it off their shelves, you know, and that's another bonus to that. Well, that doesn't happen with, you know, downloadable content. You know, it only goes on sale when the distributor decides that it wants it to go on sale. So that's kind of shitty. But yeah, you guys get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
I do.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
It's BB Media.
Hey!
Hey!
My opinion on the prices for DLC is that I thought $10 was a pretty good cap to the most a game or add-ons needed to be. You were usually getting a good value for what you were paying for that price. Since $15 is the new standard for a lot of content, I notice that I spend my money more carefully when going to buy things off of the store. It was a lot easier for me to justify spending $5 or $10 on DLC, because a lot of times it doesn't seem like that much money. I guess ultimately, though, I want to feel like I'm getting a good value for what I'm spending on a game. An example would have to go to Monsters Probably Stole My Princess. I bought this game after hearing Chris talk about it on last week's show, but it was on sale this week for half off. Chris, I know, paid $5 for it, and I would have gladly paid this much for it. I have put quite a bit of time into this game, and with more levels, I would have gladly paid even more money for it. With the $15 price point on DLC now, I noticed there is a broad range on price variations for some content. However, the price doesn't always reflect the value that you get out of it. Sorry for the long email, and have a kick-ass week, BB Media.
Media.
Awesome. Thank you, BB.
Yeah, quality's definitely varied. It's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, it
so
is.
It's real
and,
tough
and the
to
minis
gauge,
are so. A really... In general, they're kind of like an unusual... subject matter because of the fact that many of the minis, not all of them, but many of the minis are playable on both your PSP and your PS3. Mm-hmm. So you buy it once and you can play it in two different spots. And that I think is cool, but I think a lot of the minis are overpriced, you know, especially things like, I mean, when minis first came out and they had like Tetris for $10, it's like, what? And you know, it's, but then, you know, as long as they're feeding you, like good sale content, it doesn't really bother me as much because, you know, I can always look at what they have on sale and, you know, a lot of times they'll have something good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, you know, you brought up a good point because when minis were first announced, I mean, everybody pretty much agreed that that's Sony's way of trying to compete with smaller handheld games that are like on the iPhone platform.
Right.
And when they announced the price points, like some games were like $5.99, $6, I think even one game was like $7.99 for one of them.
Yeah.
I know at least. And it was amazing how expensive that was. And these are just regular, you know, little mini shmups. And it's like, really? Like, half of that shit's free with games similar like this on the iPhone. So I never
That's
got
the thing.
The price
they
point
wanted
for
to compete with that market, but they weren't willing to price at that market.
Accordingly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So a game like what we were talking about, Monsters Probably Stole My Princess. I think $250 is where that's the price point it should have been at the entire time, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I mean, I paid $5 for it, and, you know, I didn't even know what it was at the time. It was one of those things where, you know, I was looking at the minis and I looked at, because now they have ratings on PSN, and I was looking at all the ratings, and it was one of the highest rated minis out there. And, you know, I clicked on it and looked at the information. They had a little preview video and I bought it, and I didn't know that there were only five stages or six stages when I bought the game. Otherwise, it might have been a different story. But I did score chase it. I mean, I did go back to the game and, you know, try and get the best possible score that I could on all the stages. And mm-hmm. that made it more worth it for me. But I still think it would have been better received as a 250 game from the start.
Yeah.
That's what those games should be. I mean, they should be $5 or less.
Yeah.
You know, you should never have Tetris on it as a mini, quote unquote, and throw it up there for $10. It doesn't make sense.
Right. Another thing that I just wanted to touch on, and really doesn't have anything to do with any of the emails we've had so far. Steam kind of does this. The older games, if you want to go like classic games, they're not available. But the majority of the new games, they'll do this. And like MMOs with trials, they'll do this as well. But I think it's an opportunity for the PlayStation, especially with, you know, prices going up. They've got to get on that demo bandwagon, man. They're not going to sell PlayStation exclusive.
Joke. Wow.
Now they're starting with the minis. Don't they have like preview videos now, right, Chris?
Yeah, they will like stream you a preview video of the some of the minis, not all of them. I think it's really up to the developer whether or not they put that out there.
That is a start, but they got to get on that demo bandwagon. I am going to be more, you know, susceptible to getting anything. Price, yeah, we'll depend on it. But like a $15 game, you know, I'll jump on a Hydro Thunder demo and I can tell you right now, yes or no, I'm going to buy this game.
Yeah.
But, you know, Limbo, we talked about it before we started, during the beginning of the show, $15. I knew that price was, okay, I know this is a 2D platformer. I know this game's very, like, just stylistically, it's very simple. I know it's fun, but I don't know if I want to pay $15. And I got into that demo, and the second that demo ended, I pressed buy right there. That demo is very, very important. And if you have a good game, it just makes me think you're not putting a demo out for your game.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
What are you trying to say about your title? You're charging this much money for this downloadable game, and you're not going to have a demo for it? I'm sorry. Like, a great, to me, a great version, a great example for this is Pain. I think if there was a demo for that, they would sell way more copies of fucking Pain.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
I love Pain. Like, that was an impulse buy for me, and I'm so glad I did it. But if there was a demo, man, dude, they would sell way more. They would sell way, way more.
Probably. All you have to do is, like, throw one of the party modes on there and allow them to have, you know, multiplayer mm-hmm. within the demo. And, yeah, mm-hmm. people will snag that up.
Yeah, they have to, especially with prices going up. It is a must. Every game should have a demo, no questions asked.
I'm with you, 100%.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cool. You got
any more emails? Do you have any voicemails?
No, that was it.
For the question of the week, that was it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, I would like to put forth my 2 cents in Canadian on the marketplace.
So 1 cent.
Pricing. Pretty much. It's 100 loonies. this is coming from Jeff Wildman. He says, AKA does better tomorrow. It's actually a tough question to answer. There are a lot of factors that could sway someone's opinion as to whether it's fair or not. But like retail pricing, the quality of what you're purchasing doesn't always play a factor. So I will try to break my opinions down. First and foremost, I will get this out of the way. $15 for maps? I will join the anti-pricing bandwagon. In fact, I will wear a top hat and cape and drive that wagon. there is no possible way to justify that price. In fact, even $10 seems a bit steep for just a few maps, especially if they're rehashed maps with nothing but a pretty new hat. But yeah. You know what? For the hardcore players of whatever popular Activision game is overcharging, they almost have no choice. But inevitably, everyone is going to buy and play said maps, and suddenly the gaming experience is hindered because without the maps, you're limited to what you can do. So it's almost like insurance. It's something you must have so the company can charge whatever they want, and you will have to pay it. Except, it's not like that at all, because in this case, you have a choice, people. Don't buy them. As for arcade games, it really comes down to quality. It is not a great answer, but it's true. Straight up, some games are worth $15, but some are not. It's like retail. Most games come out at $60 or $70 in Canada, but are they all worth that? Hell no. Crackdown 2 says hi. On the other hand, I am currently playing Death Spank. It's fucking awesome. And you know what? Totally worth $15. In fact, I would have paid $60 for that game because I would fill a short bus with the amount of actual $60 games that I paid that were not even worth the $15 price tag that comes with such great games as Deathspank. Mm-hmm. Same goes for Limbo, Braid, and many other 1,200-point arcade games that I have played. Finally, I have always felt that single-player DLC has been pretty fair thus far. Fallout 3, Borderlands, Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Resident Evil are awesome games that really gave value for dollars spent for their DLC. Sure, that can't be said for all DLC, but for the most part, I am getting at least an hour or two more out of a game I have already played and loved, and I am happy. Well, that's all I got, but please allow me to end this with a random, unrelated quote from a very important historical figure. Hmm. And it's, quote, "Don't worry, siblings. We'll sell that nice man a box of cookies or die trying. Or try dying. Or do something, die trying, try dying." And that's from Yakko Warner. Animaniacs for the win. Better yes. Tomorrow.
Very cool. Thank you very for Better Tomorrow.
Lots of good stuff in that email.
And thank you for the Alan Wake DLC, Better Tomorrow. I mean, that's awesome. Deal. Like, I really enjoyed it. And I would have spent $7 or $8 for that DLC. I really would have. And
fair enough.
Now I'm gonna go ahead and throw my final thoughts in on this topic because it kind of goes with what BB Media was saying. I have no problem, you know, spending money on DLC like downloadable games if it is worth it. I had no problem spending $15 on Deathspank. I had no problem spending $20 on Trine. You know, I had no problem spending $15 on Limbo. You know, if the quality of the content is there, then I have no problem spending the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's as long as you get your enjoyment out of it. I mean, I think that's the most important part. I mean, there's how many people out there can say they went out and they spent $60 on a game and they felt ripped off? I mean, everybody has those moments. Mm-hmm. I would much rather buy a $15 game and feel ripped off than buy a $60 game and feel ripped off.
Good point.
So, you know, and you know, I'm really, really careful about what I buy, like downloadable. I don't buy a lot of them, and I mean, even less so on my 360 because of the whole hard drive space thing. But, you know, what I do buy, they're all games that I've really enjoyed, and I have no issues with the amount of money I've spent on them.
Yeah, same here, for real. What the big thing that gets me, and you know, he touched on it in his email a little bit, is, you know, like map packs. And Chris, you mentioned supply and demand before. You know, we've got infinite supply for this, but the demand is really, really high, especially in games where you're buying map packs for games that you're playing almost exclusively, like you're really competitive in or something like that. Where if you don't get those map packs, you can't play the game anymore because everybody's playing the new maps,
and they're playing with the map packs, right?
So yeah, the there's like a little extortion racket going on. Thank you, Activision. that shit is really, really hard to swallow, and it's tough because, you know, you want to vote with your wallet, but at the same time, you still want to play the game.
You still want to play the game. That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that.
It's
because they did that with Warhawk, too. I mean, Warhawk had the downloadable packs. It's like, you know, they had a stage with jetpacks all of a sudden. It's like, oh, fuck, you know, I got to spend $15 on this expansion. And I will admit, for those that were really into Warhawk, those expansions actually did have a pretty substantial amount of content to them.
Very true.
You know, they had extra, like, it was one full map with like several different modes and, you know, extra vehicles and shit like that and different game modes and stuff. So, I mean, I can understand that. But yeah, $15 for three maps in Modern Warfare. Yeah. Not cool, Activision. Yeah. Not cool at all.
I agree. You know, especially with multiplayer add-ons, you're adding features. I will pay the money, but you're not adding any features. You're adding a landscape for me to do the same thing I've been doing with the retail that I've already paid $60 for. No, thank you.
But if it's really popular and everybody's playing that map, you know, you're going to be inclined to buy it.
Well, Yeah.
Right?
When you sell 7 million copies and 80%, I mean, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I saw an article this week that Activision has sold like 20 million map packs for Call of Duty. I mean, that's
ridiculous. And everyone was saying, oh my God, that is so overpriced.
Yeah, and yet they still buy it.
Yeah.
You know? Vote with your dollars, people. Spend your dollars somewhere else. Travis, do we have anything else?
Yeah, I actually, and this is a testament to our readers and the company we keep, I guess. But I am so glad. I want to say thank you to everybody that written in that did not complain about the ratio of the amount of money we spend, the ratio of that to time spent in game.
Yeah, that's a
because
that's
that is something that really angers
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I can't remember who I was talking to, but someone said they had an issue with buying Limbo for $15 because it was such a short game. And I'm like, but that's not the point.
It's not.
It's not the point. I mean, the game is only like 3 hours the first time you play it, mm-hmm. right? But the point is, it's like how many people played Out of This World only once, you know? And that's kind of the way I feel about Limbo. I mean, this is obvious. This is a game I'm definitely going to go back to at one point or another, just because it is a game that you can sit down and you can complete on one sitting. And those are the kind of games that I do get a lot of replay out of, you know? I mean, I'm not going to fucking play Final Fantasy again. Yeah, sure. I got 60 hours out of it or whatever the hell it was, but mm-hmm. I'm never going to play it again. You know, it's going to sit on mm-hmm. my shelf and you know, be part of my collection, and that's it. Limbo, I will play again. Probably.
I don't really want to open up like a can of worms, but that factor is, I don't know, it weighs not really heavy, but it's a factor for me, you know? Like, you know, Chris mentioned before with, the mini game, you know, if he had known that there were only 5 stages, he would have hesitated, right?
Right.
I mean, granted, you know, you got an extra replay out of it with score chasing and whatnot. But, you know, I definitely feel ripped off when I pay $60 for a game and I only get 6 hours out of it, you know, regardless of how pretty it is. And, you know, we've talked about this many, many times before. But, you know, I like games that I can actually, you know, get, I think, my money's worth out of.
Well, right? Retail's a little is a different beast, though.
Yeah, true.
Isn't it? I mean, I'm more inclined to expect a $60 title to be short, like a 6 or 7 hour title. But like if it's 6-7 hour title and it's good, I'm mm-hmm. happy I spent this. Like you're gonna put a lot of time.
Yeah.
You're gonna put a lot of time in a Crackdown 2 if you really want to, mm-hmm. but that game should have been $40, no matter how much time you're putting into it. It's a map pack with which is a few extra features. I mean, it's
not even a map pack. The map's
the same.
It's
not even a map pack. It's just yeah.
It's so, like I mean, it's like chapter 2 or something.
So yeah, it is a factor. I do agree with you, Jason. It is kind of a factor, mm-hmm. but I just don't want
to dismiss it completely,
yeah.
right?
I'm not dismissing it completely, but
overall, you know, quality and enjoyment, you know, should weigh mm-hmm. heavily, you know, far more than, you know, like how much time you spend.
Right.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, because I definitely spent my $15 for Limbo knowing that this was a very, very, very short game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I was just taken in by like, if this entire game is like this, I will buy it.
And
like
it
no
was.
Questions asked.
And it
yeah.
was.
It was. Game is so good. It is so good.
So, like I said, it was a testament to our readers to not so easily like fall into the game facts crowd and be like, "Oh, but it's only 2 hours. Why would you spend that much money?" It's like, that's I don't buy games.
It was an amazing 2 fucking hours.
I'm not buying Madden just to say I'm buying this game because I'm going to put 100 hours into it. Jason, you don't buy Street Fighter because I know I'm going to put 200 hours into it. No, you say I'm going to buy it because I'm going to put 300 hours into it.
Fuck yeah.
No, but mainly because you know you're going to love this game, so price is not an option. You're going to put the money into quality, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Cool.
I'm with you.
We have any more emails, or is that it?
I wash my hands with this. I'm done.
Cool. I've wrapped up, so you guys have anything else to say?
No, I pretty much said
wrap it up.
All that I want to say, except for, you know, if like $20 was the norm, people would be like bitching about that as well mm-hmm. and saying, "Oh, $15 is the absolute best price point.
How much was Shadow Complex? Was that 20?
It was 15.
I think that was 15.
Really?
Yeah, it was 15. Yep.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I mean, a lot of this can go back to Shadow Complex, and you know, another one that a lot of people talk about is Bionic Commando Rearmed, because that was only 10.
Right.
I mean, these are really high quality games that they threw out there for a really cheap price, and they expected volume to swing it, and it did. And that's I really wish more developers would have that much confidence in their product. You know, if you make a good product, it's going to sell. Limbo. I'm sure it's going to sell well at $15. Imagine how many more copies it would have sold at 10. You know, so I mean, it's give and take. So you know, I definitely don't feel ripped off for spending $15 on Limbo, but I know that there's a lot more people out there that would have felt the same enjoyment that I felt if it was 10.
We are not marketing experts.
That's right.
No. Well.
All right, cool.
You guys aren't.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm straight.
All right, let's do some new releases then.
Well, kind of.
All right, well, let's see what Mr. Repeat has to say then.
Repeat.
Yeah.
Big Pete.
Okay, so for next week, there is not really anything on the retail front that's interesting again, so we go to look to downloads for some fun.
Yeah.
So Summer of Arcade, continuing on with Monday Night Combat. Now this is a third-person class-based shooter.
It looks so
fun. Sort of a developer sort of run through of some of it. Looked actually pretty good, although the developers have some sort of strange bacon fetish. So yeah.
Pistol Pete.
And the PS3 is getting Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is looking pretty darn fantastic. It's an old school sort of brawler beat 'em up. Looks kind of very River City Ransom-ish. Some excellent 2D graphics there, and it's got a pretty killer soundtrack done by Anna Managuchi. So that should be probably well worth checking out, although unfortunately it doesn't have online co-op, only four-player local, which kind of sucks. Also, that one will be coming out in the 360 in about a month's time or something, I believe. So, yeah. And that's pretty much it.
Oh, man. Travis, I am sorry. You and Pete are not friends anymore, are you?
I'm going to boomerang them.
He might know how to defend it against that. You should challenge him to a little Madden when he's here for Indisfest.
Deuce.
We're gonna get a
one
solid helping of Repeat
with Madden 11. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh, that was good.
All right, let's fill in gaps. There's not many to fill in.
Are you serious?
Hold on a second. Let me finish, dude.
Come on.
Calm your ass down. All right. So, pretty much Madden 11 is the only thing coming out next week on all systems.
Well, yeah. Nobody wants to really
to release their game at the same time as Madden 11.
Okay, so I already know. Okay, pick it a week, Madden 11. It's done. That's me. But I'm already gonna double dip. I'm gonna get it for the PS3 and the Xbox.
Really?
But I think I'm also. Right. I think I'm gonna get it for the PSP too.
Really?
I want it portable, man. I want Madden portable. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just want it. And that Madden PSP bundle. Ooh. Oates. Hey, I'm just saying. Oates said he wanted a PSP again, and he sold me his. I'll sell it back. I'll sell it back. I need monies for the Madden bundle. So I'll talk to me.
I think we have our first indication that the PS2 is truly dead, because I don't think Madden's coming out on it next week.
well, really?
The bundle?
Yeah.
Really?
The PS2?
Oh, PS2. I'm sorry.
I don't think Madden 11 is. I don't think Madden 11's coming out on PS2. I think they're done with that shit.
Yeah, that's the sign right there.
Yeah, Madden's not coming out. The system's dead.
Yeah, which is fine. It's fine. It had a great run.
Yeah,
so.
It did.
They made their 10 years, didn't they?
That's right. They did make their 10 years. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we know Travis's pick of the week, Jason.
Monday Night looks really, really good. It's got the Team Fortress 2 aspect. Looks really fun. But hands down, Scott Pilgrim.
I'm with
also,
you 100%.
Did anyone mention Mafia 2?
Mafia 2 is later this month.
Is it? I thought it was 8-10.
No, it's like the 24th or something.
It must have got pushed back because I was on the crapper and I was reading the Game Informer and it said 8-10, so it must have got delayed a few weeks.
Thanks for that info.
I'm just saying.
All right, cool. Why don't you continue on with some emails?
Aw, do I have to? Yeah. I have a weird question. What's the deal with the term butthurt? I'm no stranger to the internet, but I can honestly say I have never seen or heard that term until I started following video game news in early 2009 after a long hiatus. Discuss. From Sorry Name Taken on VG Evo, the Veej.
Wow. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it for years, I guess. I mean, it's pretty obvious to, you know, understand what it means, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
but yeah, certain social circles have their own. There's lots of like Street Fighter lingo that I've integrated into my like normal speak. Travis and I say like, you know, yo, real talk all the time. Mm-hmm. Or if someone's like salty or whatever.
Yeah, it's usually like when we get mad at each other and we're like, hey, dude, real talk. Let's,
yeah,
we'll love you.
Real talk.
But seriously, before we hug it out, let's keep it real. Let's draw. Talk truth.
I just went to Urban Dictionary and they don't really tell you where it came from.
Oh, you're on Urban Dictionary right now?
Yeah.
Can you check up, what is it? What was that new phrase we came up with? Rate what?
Rate rolled?
Rate rolled?
I don't think that's
yet to make it on there.
That is yet to make it on there. We should make that happen.
I don't even think about it. Open my email from Travis all next week. He's going to try and Bonnie Raitt roll me.
I love Urban Dictionary, man. I really do. It's they like tell you the definition of the word, and then they have a sentence. And then the sentence for butthurt is, Adam got a butthurt when Mike stole his bitch.
I think
that's awesome.
That's good shit.
All right. Next email.
I do have more. Hey, Endis, Confidence Man 2 here.
Sup?
Wait a minute.
Yo!
Wait a minute. Did someone hijack my Endostat segment and turned it all counter-terroristy?
Hijack.
Anyways,
anyways,
this set of Endostats was skipped over by Bauer, possibly because 24 were still on the air at the time and he needed his rest, so I thought I'd go over them real quick. Endostats for episodes 113 to 117.
Wow.
That's like
way back
five
there.
Episodes. Shit.
Old school, yo.
That's like 6 months ago, man.
The number of times Chris mentions Phantasy Star or Castlevania. 2,000.
What? Only two?
Just two. The number of times Travis mentions Call of Duty or Madden. 13.
You said duty.
The number of times Jeff mentions either God of War or Halo. 34.
God damn.
All that reach talk.
All that reach. Number of emails read on the show, 42. Number of voicemails played, 19. Number of random questions asked by Aces High, 2.
What?
Not enough.
Number of semi-random questions asked by not Aces High, 17. Oh, man.
Started a trend.
Can we say overshadowed? Number of times Chris tried to be a trophy/achievement whore, 2.
Thousand.
The number of times Travis says, hey. Ace. Nice. Oh, the number of times Chris says, nice. 15.
That's it?
The number of times anyone mentions Canada, moose sausage, or anything that makes reference to Jeff being Canadian, 10. Wow, that is loud.
So I said nice more than we made Canadian jokes?
Oh, I don't know
that's
about
a problem,
that.
Guys.
I can't remember
a problem.
I
demand a recount.
Yeah, because we've said, wait. No. This is 113.
This is before that, dude. This is
before Edipalooza. Okay. Yeah, so this is a while back. The number of times anyone mentions Unistick, Super the Fucking Jason mode, fuck you, or anything that refers to a Jason A. Stryker catchphrase, 10.
Oh, I have catchphrases now. Nice.
Yes.
Cool.
Number of playful jabs against other podcasts, 3.
1,000?
wait. The next one is the number of jabs against PS Nation.
No. I think this is before that.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll revisit that in later Endostats. A number of times Bayonetta has been mentioned, 21. And the number of times Mass Effect was mentioned, 40. So, yeah, this is definitely back in January.
This is January-February time. So that makes sense with Jeff's God of War because, you know, if we're talking about Bayonetta and action games, we were probably talking about God of War, and God of War came out in March as well. So
Yes, and he also, and this is really neat, made the contents of the Indus bar. So in between these episodes, we had mentioned drinks, and these are the drinks that were in the bar. We had wine. We had sweet tea vodka. Remember that?
Yum, yum.
Red brick beer from the brew house.
Yeah.
Who gas beer?
Yup.
And we had Captain Morgan's coconut rum with smooth Sunny D, aka'd as Travis's pussy drink.
That probably tastes like Travis's pussy too.
It's funny.
Nasty.
You know, you mentioned that. You mentioned that shit like way too much. I think deep down inside,
your
you want me to have a vagina. You want me to have a vagina.
I just want you to come out, man. One. I mean, just we still love you.
Is that why you followed me into the bathroom?
Right.
You wanted you wanted confirmation. That's what you said. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I let you down.
Oh wow.
So anyway, this that got a little weird. Successful wishful thinking. I want Infinity Ward to break the fuck off from Activision and get picked up by another publisher. And that was from Goffy. That's so funny. I love that. The man is predicting the future. And the dead horse beaten of the Endostats. Will Heavy Rain fail? Did we say that a lot?
I don't remember.
Anyway,
thank you,
Confidence Man 2.
Thank you, Confidence Man. I love those. Those are awesome.
I do. I love the Indus Bar. That's really
cool. The Indus Bar is a good one. That's a good idea.
That's really, really that's a good idea. Cool.
What are we drinking tonight?
Water.
Coffee.
Yeah, I've got some like peach iced tea. No alcohol.
None of us are drinking. No wonder this show seems to be taking so long.
Jeff's not on the show.
Hey, I have a voicemail. You want to hear that?
Yes.
Maybe.
What's going on? And this is Eddie Kusanagi here.
Yo, Eddie, how you doing?
Oh,
shit, Snap, son.
Sorry, I'm not dead. I'm alive.
Good.
I'm just
good.
Around. Here was
always
just one question. It's a very good one.
Of course.
It may seem
we'll be the judge
not
of that.
So cool for you guys, but if you try and dodge this question, you guys are pussy straight up. Don't dodge it, just answer it straight up.
All right.
Here we go. Now, if you were hypothetically speaking, to be gay, who would you fuck? Now, I know that's a weird question to be on a podcast, but listen, I'll encourage you gentlemen by answering the question myself. If I were gay and I were to fuck somebody, it would totally be Hideo Kojima. Or maybe Gilkin. No, Hideo Kojima.
Right. Gilkin's like a bear,
I'm
man.
One for
oh,
you guys
wow.
As well. So here we go.
He
Jeff,
manhandled
you. Getting down with Kratos. Chris. I'm not a fan of Phantasy Star or Castlevania, but any cute guy for you would be good. And Travis, I guess, would be John Madden.
Oh.
Who would it be? It could be a video game character. It could be a celebrity, you know, a music artist, anybody. As long as he's a nice, healthy male type. Just answer
the
question.
Eddie's
don't dodge
too
it.
Into this
all right,
question,
here we go.
Man.
Yeah.
On a side note, every time I download your episode, yo, it's like, yo.
Awesome.
Oh. Yeah, here we go. Every time I hit the triangle button on your show on the RSS feed and I go to genre, it says porn groove. What the hell is that? I mean, it's kind of random, and I've never heard of such a genre. I don't know if you guys intentionally put that in there. I mean, it's been like this, you know, for a long time, and no one's pointed
like
it out.
Ever.
You know, here it is.
iTunes gave us
it's
that.
On the table.
Yeah, that is our official
anyways,
designation.
Have a good show. Have fun with the questions. Don't dodge it. Take care.
I'm not dodging that shit. I've been public about my list. Neil Patrick Harris. I don't even think I'd have to be gay to do him.
Well, he's
I love
gay,
that man.
So.
He's
right.
Gay enough for you, right?
Yeah.
All right.
There's
that's,
my guy.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, he's hilarious, man. If you watch How I Met Your Mother.
I just started watching that. Finally.
Dude.
Oh,
yeah,
good show.
It's hilarious to even think that he's gay watching that show.
Mm-hmm. I was in love with him even before that.
Doogie
Howser.
All about the Doogs.
Ever since Doogie Howser.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, John Madden.
Icky.
Only if he feeds me some of that fucking 13 leg turkey.
No,
turducken.
Jesus,
hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, boom, turducken in your butt.
Turducken in your butt.
gives a play-by-play.
You say you got the penis here, and it goes right up here, boom!
Oh, my God. Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know. I just have turducken in the butt on the brain now.
Thank you for naming this episode.
if I had to have a per, I mean, I know he was asking like if we had a choice to. I would have to say we don't have to keep it gaming related. So let's. I got to go with the Kiefer.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, he's a cool guy. He wouldn't appreciate me. But that's okay. They don't need to.
You know, I thought about this one, and I think I came up with Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I'd drop him for Nate Fillion. Sure.
Yeah, you take a shot.
Yeah, if I was gay, I'd probably go that way.
Okay,
it'd work.
Well, awkward. All right.
I know. Hey, Jason, do you want to you want to talk about our genre?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Moving on.
Rather let people just kind of discover it on their own.
It's more fun that way.
We've been doing it since, I think, day one, though.
Yeah. It's been.
Well, yeah. It's an interesting technology that iTunes developed to designate, you know, what podcast genre is. And they hear sexy porn. They hear, oh, man, these guys would fuck Neil Patrick Harris and John Madden. Oh, we're giving him the porn groove. See, they knew it. iTunes, that fucking Steve Jobs, man, he knows his shit. It's fucking good. Now, if there's only a technology that could like rearrange like a fucking like vocal voice track and to accurately turn it into written word on page, it would be so great if we could see that work. But you know what would be even greater? If it didn't work, and when you read it for comedic value, it turned out to be gold.
Hilarity that typically ensues.
Exactly. Now, if only we can get our hands on such entertainment.
Well, dude, I'm glad I came on the show because, you know, I've got Google Voice pulled up right now. And you guys remember Jeff Chorney? He sent in a little voicemail previously.
Yeah, that's true.
This is what Jeff said in Canadian, well, in Google Canadian,
Canadian.
Speak.
In Google-adian. How about that?
I don't know if this is the entire thing because he sent two, but Google was only able to somewhat transcript one of them or transcribe. So, oh boy, here we go. Hey, I thought I also need to take it back where I left. The up that seriously it's and getting out of hand. This is no longer downloadable titled. Titles involved buys. Let's check at the arcade games and almost ring into she bargained in video games. And stop staging, okay? Definitely I like. Again, sorry, Chris. It's really cool. Harmony of Despair. Really fun game, but for $15 compared to what we're getting last year for $15? Like the Space Shuttle Complex? Or some like those lines. Barry Flusher Game Company? Although fine does feel... Barry Flusher Game Company. Although fine does feel like it was, like, kind of strung together, you have a pleasant day and got makeup. Any again north arrive $15, and this has been kind of actually bought the game. This is retarded, and I'm just rambling at this point. But seriously, Condo put a ceiling on that. Please note from Axion for fifth, you know you do like incredible amount of game, and that for $15. Everything else, like a little intern, they're 5 to 10.
Like a little intern.
Again, I see it. Make more money down the line. Does that becomes if you're not taking any more? You're like you at a bar and a few drinks. Are you thinking about the next? Probably going to be. Are you just you do to it? That's what it's going to be. And it's you guys because I'm broke. So yeah. And so you guys. Assess based on what I think. The nine-ish. I like your friend little bit and what is. Later. Bye. Love you guys. Planning to do both like to see if I don't. Planning to both like to see if I don't really stuff. And I'll talk to you soon. All right. Love you. Love you too, Jeff. And your
space shuttle complex.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm really, really excited about that new Barry Flusher Game Company jam that's coming out.
Oh, shit. That was awesome. Man. Thank you for that.
I love
Jason.
Little Interns, too.
Little Interns.
Five to ten.
For 5 to 10.
Yeah.
For 5 or 10.
Yeah. $15 for one of those. That's a good price point.
It's good eating.
That's cool. Hey, you guys know a great way to end the email and voicemail segment?
More gay talk. Let's do that. That sounds fun.
No, I don't want to do that. How about this instead?
It's time for another edition of...
I got a job to do. Enough is enough. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes and stuff.
Random questions from Aces Hoffman. Yeah.
Hey, guys. What's going on? This week's question is, what type of alcoholic beverage have you recently discovered that you like? And if the answer is none, then I challenge you to find a new drink that you like.
Done.
I'm going to answer Chris's real quick. Chris is all about that fucking Kraken. All about that Kraken.
The Kraken's tasty, man. The Kraken is tasty.
It is very tasty.
That's right.
Shit kind of sneaks up on you, though.
It does.
Like, when you have, like, you know, 16 of them.
without having anything to eat. Yeah,
no,
yeah, it kind of
does. I only had 4 triples.
But you're putting like 2 drinks in all of those.
Oh, good shit.
I've recently discovered that I really, really like alcoholic cider. I know it's kind of a pussy drink, but it's fucking tasty. It's like palate cleansing and refreshing, and it gets you drunk.
I was gonna say that too. What was it? It was 2 Tuesdays ago when we were at Battle and Brew, and you were sitting there drinking the cider, and we ended up getting a pitcher of that. And I was like, I don't think historically I'm not a cider fan, but I had a sip of that, and it was really, really tasty when you add, you know, booze to it.
Right.
But yeah, I like it. And then you had me taste the Original Sin last night at Trivia, and that was really, really good. I like that. I actually like it in a bottle a little better than draft. But yeah, I'm about the cider. I'm feeling it.
I've had a couple. There's like Woodchuck Pale Ale. It's a pear like cider. It's really tasty. I like Original Sin a lot. Strongbow's good. So.
Strongbow is good. I like Strongbow a lot.
Right.
Good shit. Yeah, I'm on a cider kick as of late.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. I like cider too. I don't really, I mean, that would be it. The Kraken. That was pretty good rum.
The Kraken.
I can't think of anything else that I've tried that's new since then.
Coconut rum and that, some of that baby formula.
Oh, what?
Put you right to bed.
I bet it would. All right. Let's move on. Do question of the week and get the hell out of here, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Question of the week for next week. What are your gaming industry pet peeves? You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail. That number is 306-360-4337.
It's kind of like Lee.
Yeah, but it's not.
You can also get us on Google Talk, and that is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Let's see. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Jason, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-off.
And fuck that bitch, she ain't here.
G-E-O-F-F. All right. And then we have that Facebook group that nobody cares about. And then let's mention, shit, what the hell is it called? Cast Medium? That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's mention Cast Medium. We're over there too, so go check us out, leave us a review. And yeah, I think that's about it. So you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get the hell out of here?
Let's get hype. Extra Life.
Extra Life is coming too. We got Extra Life and we got Indus Fest.
And Madden Gras.
What? And Madden Gras. That's right. We have all kinds
of shit
going
on, man. By the time you hear this, I will be on bourbon. Drinking bourbon.
You'll be on Bourbon Street drinking the bourbon.
We got an interview here with our friend Peter Moore. Mr. Peter.
Mr. Peter.
Can I call you Mr. Peter?
Please do that. Please do that.
There. That'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I'm sure. But no, Extra Life, we got big plans. We're going to be at Battle and Brew again, doing a 24-hour thing, streaming the entire thing.
And they're doing some shit for us too, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot bigger than it was last year.
Yeah.
That's what.
Aren't they
said.
Staying open the whole 24 hours this time?
Yes, they are.
That's
we're going to have a
awesome.
Sleepover. And we're going to be running contests inside of there too. So, yeah, we should get some some Indus jammies.
Indus jammies.
Yeah.
Indus snuggies.
This is a fantastic idea.
An Indus snuggie would be a great idea.
Oh my god.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah, please do. Lise, can you start sewing those?
No pressure. It's fine.
All right, she's on that. All right, good. Indus snuggies. Awesome. Heard it here.
First.
All right, cool. Let's get the hell out of here, guys. Cool.
Yeah.
So, if you enjoyed the show, hope you did. Please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. Until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
I'm Travis.
Hi, Travis.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.